Hello, everyone, and welcome to GFG tonight. Sorry for late arrival. I had a password issue with Entropy. We won't have Entropy tonight as an option, but it's okay. My favorite platform for super chats is the Odyssey Super Chat. Mark D's channel says, my theory, Mikaela is JF's new girlfriend, and he lost no time putting one past the goalie. No, I am not the father of Mikaela Peterson's baby. The father appears to be a centrist Christian with libertarian leanings. We will analyze and see if we approve the new mate of Mikaela Peterson. End of the line, Joel says, I hope she did not hook up with an anonymous troll demon. Yeah. Or else you're going to have Jordan Peterson crying. You're going to have Jordan Peterson crying just like on my thumbnail. A Stray's channel says, just imagine the drama that would have been created. Naberius says he has been spending a lot of time cleaning his room. Whoa, whoa, whoa. The Jordan Peterson references. Stop it. A technique to remove fat from a hot meal. You use a ball of ice and the fat will solidify around the ball of ice. That is quite clever. I had not thought of this. Now, you do get away anything that will be attracted by the fat. Presumably the fat is taking away a lot of flavor, so I wouldn't say that's a genius culinary trick. Normally, you would want to prepare the meal such that you don't end up with too much fat, but I guess it's an option for the people out there who are stuck with having put too much fat in their meal. By the way, Vedet says 07. I've been watching Mission Impossible with Tom Cruise, Deep Reckoning, Depth Reckoning, whatever it is. It's not bad, I'll tell you what. In terms of a AI movie, it satisfied me more than The Creator. And that reveals a lot about the weakness of The Creator. You know, with The Creator, I was wanting to see an AI movie. I didn't see an AI movie. I saw a war movie against robots, where robots are basically presented as incapable and that they're kind of the oppressed victims. Okay, kind of interesting from a social perspective rather than see the robots as super intelligent, but it's there is something missing in The Creator, which is this whole AI. If it's so dangerous, why doesn't it pull cunning attacks to the enemy? No, it's like the AI is only victimized in The Creator. Whereas Mission Impossible with Tom Cruise actually puts an AI in there that has a original type of presence for an AI in a movie. Because in the whole movie, the AI is absolutely absent. And that is so interesting. It reminds me of The Godfather. You know how The Godfather, it is a movie of violence, but there's very little violence in The Godfather. It's a whole master of puppet type of thing where the Godfather merely by giving orders and threatening people with veiled threats succeeds at getting what he wants. In Mission Impossible, the AI is a little bit like the Godfather. The AI is an omniscient presence. Everyone is conscious that their moves, as they are linked to the AI strategy, they fit within it or outside of it. And they calculate in probabilities. But ultimately, in Mission Impossible, you only see humans. It's all humans that are influenced by the AI. They're trying to outguess the AI. And as such, you construct a kind of theory of what this entity is. But in the end, it's all humans fighting for control of the world. Ben Shapiro is the daddy, says Coco. Our governments now act as the Don. Absolutely. This is an hilarious elephant cranium. It looks like a troll face. I don't know if it's because it was broken in some way, or maybe it's just, maybe elephants are just like this. But an elephant cranium, it looks like it's smiling at us in a troll fashion, like, like it just trolled us onto the internet. New guy says, no, that's legit. All right, well, that's just how elephant craniums look like. We have a situation with a black man with torn out pants. He's going to steal maybe something from this woman. Also, maybe it was cash. So now he steals cash. He has his cup of coffee. Oh, but now he hadn't planned this. First, his joggings are getting loose, so his ass crack starts showing. And Spider-Man, right here. Spider-Man was there. You always need to be careful not to commit crimes in front of a random justiciar like this. Well, that is complex. Spider-Man could have gotten away with the pants. So now you stole $5, but you have to buy new pants. Now what? I don't know. Why is this happening? Why are there random Spider-Men like this? And what was the Spider-Man doing on top of the train? No clue. No clue as to what happened here. Sorry, I can't be any illuminating on this. Wonderful. Michaela Peterson is pregnant. She has been inseminated by a Christian man. Absolutely wonderful. She is 31 years old, and so the clock was starting to tick. But she got one more just in time. She had another child with a man. I believe she had dropped him and she had left him with the child, and she had gone on her trips where she was hanging out with Andrew Tate and then saving her father from overdose in Russia. It was a very bizarre late 20s for Michaela Peterson, but now she's back into the mold and back onto the mold and working to build a family. That's wonderful. I'm happy. I think it's the right thing to do. I think Jordan Peterson will be happy. I don't know. You know, it's Jordan Peterson is advocating for the genocide of the Palestinians openly on Twitter. He's been rooting for it before it happened, and then it happened. He's been developing all these links with Bibi Netanyahu. But perhaps this particular child will take a different direction with a Christian father. Who knows? Perhaps Michaela Peterson will drift away from her father. So I have hopes that this could be a well-cared-for child. Frank says, it's a boy. They will circumcise him in Israel. I don't think so. John Drake says, I've seen a Spider-Man on top of a traffic light in Toronto once. It was hilarious. Okay, so it's a regular thing. So Jordan Fuller, he had been revealing on his timeline. So that's the new mate of Michaela Peterson. His Twitter account was started in February 2022. So 1 year, almost 2 years ago. He defines himself as a follower of Christ. He was leaving traces that he was in contact with Michaela because, first, well, her new name is Michaela Fuller. Fuller. Michaela Fuller. So basically, she has adopted his last name. So they are married. He just learned from her that milk comes in bags in Canada. I remember we covered that news, and I did show you guys the bags of milk that I have. Yes, we take our milk in bags. We cut the bag at the tip with a scissor. So some libertarian leanings retweeting Elon Musk about George Orwell. People criticizing the leftists for complaining against corporations and yet adopting their products. Michaela sees a scorpion as she establishes herself in Scottsdale. Seed Halls are now far right. Okay, so a centrist appeal to not perceive everything as far right. Critique of modern art. The Intellectual Path Toward Christ. This is the book that sealed the deal for me. Book by Kevin Bass, PhD. Well, mentioned by Kevin Bass, PhD. Michaela Peterson appearing on a talk show.
Michaela,
universe. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's I don't even know how to react to these situations because women fought so hard to get where we are today. I was just looking at the.
She almost looks Chinese. Is that an effect of the meat diet? She almost looks Asian.
Picture of the Boston Marathon runner in 1967, and it's this woman, and she's being grabbed by men on the track because women weren't allowed to compete.
All right, so Fuller, now father of a baby with Michaela Peterson, all of this should be celebrated. DK Shadow says, too based. Ariel Suarez says, let's say I want to rejoin the church and try to seek Christ once more. Would the Eastern Orthodox Church be a good option? Let me tell you, the Eastern Orthodox Christians, they annoy me among the Christians. It's like this kind of superiority that they seem to think they have over all other denominations. To me, it's very repulsive. Now, I'm an atheist, so I guess I'm not the target crowd, okay? But holy shit, are they fucking annoying with their conviction of superiority and their arguments on the structure of the ideology of Christianity and Christ and the Trinity. I can't take a single thing from them. But it says, Orthodox are the special boys of the apostolic faiths. They are fucking annoying. It's like, you guys are arguing for your superiority within a fictitious world. My fiction is better than your fiction. Ariel Suarez says, I'm an atheist too, but no moral framework to be offered by it. I guess given that the advantages of the church are the social interactions, wherever you are, just go for whatever denomination of Christianity is your favorite, is the most popular, and you'll probably find everything that you're looking for if you're looking to interact with Christianity as an atheist. Beginning of November, I don't know if you guys will remember, but I invested in a shitcoin, Vulcan Forged Beer. I entered right here at $4.04, and here we are at $6.70. Wow, my bet was correct. Now, for a while, I had a little scare because I entered here, and then it fell right away. After I entered, it fell, but I kept the investment because I believed in this shitcoin. Vulcan Forge, what is this shitcoin, says DK Shadow. It's a shitcoin that made it to $50 in a previous bull run, I believe, something like this. And it has a whole community of gamers. They are still gaming on it. You know, they haven't experienced the bear market as, oh, it's over for our shitcoin. they constantly play these games and they buy these NFTs, and the peer token is the token of the in-game world. It's not just a game. It's a universe of game. They call it the Vulcanverse. And I saw the activity was pretty high on this coin back at the beginning of November, when all the shit coins were all still going down and down. And this one was getting people excited. And I decided that there was a very good chance that this coin would re-rise in the current bull run. Gray says, games that no one likes or plays. I have no idea about the quality of the games. All I know is they have a user base and it's been loyal. It's been loyal for years. And, you know, since it's a verse, since it's a Vulcan verse, I think that if their games aren't good, they can program new games and they appear to be interested at developing this universe on the long term. And so I bought Peer, and now I'm almost 2x already from my investments. That probably gave me a return better than buying ETH. So I'm super happy with Vulcan. I'm not selling at 670. People are saying it will reach 8 and then drop. I'm targeting for a sale at $40, $50, $70. A pair. Lendald Guntram says 90% plus of shitcoins will lose in the long term with respect to King BTC. So invest and trade with caution, guys. Oh yeah, I remain a Bitcoin maximalist, and it's really not recommendable to go on random shitcoins. I got lucky on this one, partly because I did some research and I knew that I wasn't relying purely on luck. Most shitcoins will not have a second life. Most shitcoins will not re-rise this bull run. Or if they do, it will be, you know, at a lesser rate than ETH itself. But this one, I think it has a chance to become very, very viral and to be an impressive rise. A good Samaritan has been arrested after stopping NYC subway assault by firing warning shots. A man with no criminal history who saved a woman from being attacked by a homeless man has been arrested and charged by the Manhattan DA with criminal possession of a firearm and reckless endangerment because he fired a warning shot stopping the assault. See, that is a problem. And that is why you won't get people to defend you. And this guy shouldn't have done what he's done. You shouldn't go and help a woman. You should let her be assaulted. Unless there is some situation through which either she is pregnant with your baby, or she is... Or the situation leads you to have a criminal negligence kind of liability falling onto your head. If those two criteria are not met, you let the woman be attacked and you let her purse be stolen, the law will go after you. And here's an example. You know, this guy shot a warning shot thinking, I'm the white guy who will not kill a black man. I'm the white guy, you know, I'm a hero. I'm shooting a warning shot rather than shooting the guy. The thing is, if you don't shoot the guy, you weren't scared for your life. If you weren't scared for your life, you have zero defense for shooting in the city. And shooting in the city, of course, they're going to make it a crime through various laws, such as reckless endangerment or firing a firearm within 100 meters of a residence, that kind of stuff. So the system leaves you no choice. The system is telling you, if you shoot the guy, we're going to go after you a la Derek Chauvin or a la any policeman who killed or intervened in some black man's criminal story. But if you don't, we're going to go after you still. So what is left for us? Well, What is left is to say to woman, you get what you fucking deserve. You voted for this, you get this. If you want a future in which men are chevalier and trying to charm you by defending you, you can have it, but we have to discuss our work conditions before we get there. DK Shadow says, call the police. That's the least legally risky thing you can do. Yeah, I mean, if you want the thing to stop, I guess you could call the police. Personally, I would just look at the woman be attacked by the golems that she has invoked. Rise against, but you know, maybe there is a point at which I could be charged with negligence. And so maybe there is some point at which I would say, okay, I'm going to call the police very slowly. Yes, hello, Miss Policeman. Rise Again says, what if you try to shoot them and miss? Don't say shit to the police and let your attorney make that argument for you. Yeah, I mean, it's if you are capable of shutting up and not saying anything to the police, it can become a valid defense, I guess. It's like, I was trying to kill him because I was convinced he was about to kill me or kill her. But, you know, in this case, I don't think it would even apply in this case because I don't know that he had a weapon. Roach was running scheme by which he would hold an emergency gate open to let riders avoid paying fees and asked for money in return. Oh my God, so this guy was holding the train passing tourniquet here, and he was charging for it. This is basically a modern pirate. He was saying, this money isn't going to the state, it's going in my pocket. Roach tried to grab a 40-year-old woman's purse who refused to pay him. Yeah, because a lot of these people, they're not paying for the gate. They may have paid for the whole month and they have their little cards. And so there he was collecting the fees from his act of piracy, and that is what led to the incident. But it doesn't seem like he had a gun, so the guy will have a hard time getting a self-defense kind of... Oh, and by the way, I mentioned I didn't kill the black guy. I'm looking at the picture of the guy now. He's not even black. He's white. Justin, the New York City woman who was getting mugged by a homeless man before being saved by a man with a gun, says the gun scared her and she wishes he didn't use it. So see, the woman will not side with you. The woman will drop you under the bus along the police that come to arrest you. Here she is, complaining that the gun was pulled. He should have just let her get mugged. It gets even worse. The woman said she would have seen the man as a bigger hero if he helped her without using a gun. Oh, so... So the woman is not satisfied with the tools used as part of the act of heroism. I mean, that gives you an idea of just how little gratefulness you're going to get. It's really not worth it, guys. Stay home. Do not go out there and save random woman. It's like, oh, well, I think it's not the fact that you saved me. It's the way in which you saved me that I'm taking issue with. Oh, my God. I don't want to hear these words ever in my life, so I'm not helping a single rando woman. Earlier this week, John Roth jumped into action when he saw a woman getting mugged by a homeless man. Roth pulled the gun from his backpack and let off multiple shots to scare away the deranged homeless man. It worked. However, Roth was arrested for using the gun. Now, the woman involved in the attack says it is scary to think that people are carrying guns around New York City, and she wishes Roth didn't use the gun. Of course, I'm happy that that man tried to help me and that nobody was injured during this incident, but it's scary to think that people are carrying guns around the city. I understand why people do it. They see it as their only means of protection. In this case, the man risked a lot to protect me, his safety and the safety of other people on the platform. Yes, I do think he is a hero, but I don't know. I would likely think him a bigger hero if he tried to help me without the gun. In my eyes, the gun is a little extreme. Woman, you are at the center of an act of piracy. You cannot fight pirates with swords, nor with anything really that doesn't have deadly force. Vedette says, I hope that homeless bum robs her the next day. She would deserve it. She would definitely deserve it, given her attitude. We have Zerka, the troublemaker Zerka. I've always not been super warmed at the idea of this guy. And now he's making trouble on a stream and trying to get a fight going on the streets. Okay, let's have a look.
Oh no. Oh god. Oh boy.
So he's clearly the aggressor, where he throws a bottle of something, breaks the glass, and now he's trying to get this guy who was in the restaurant. I don't know what's the beef. I don't know who that guy is. But Zerka is always a troubled individual, and you can see in the way he debates, the way he interacts, he has a lot of anger in him.
This guy.
Now, Zerka says, you came here to hunt me. It looks like this guy was just dining at a restaurant to me. I really don't see the hunting here. The hunting is done by Zerka. Now Zerka seems to have superior muscle mass and superior height, because I believe that this guy is elevated on a platform. And even then, he's not higher than Zerka. So it's looking good. It's looking bad for this guy. Initially, that's what I thought. But actually, it turns out that he's going to overpower on the punches.
Get the fuck out of here.
So he's asking that there be no cameras and let's stop playing, let's fight for real. Okay.
Tell them you're freezing. Hey, tell them you're freezing. I give you the first hit. I give you first hit. Let's go.
So Zerka offers first hit.
Listen, bitch. Put the camera down.
The other guy is called HS or HS Tiki Taki. Okay, and who's that guy? Is he a boxer? Is he an influencer?
Now, next one.
Tell the world watching. Tell the world. Tell the world you're not coming. He came from the UK to hunt me down and beat me up.
He came from the UK to hunt you down and beat you up.
Listen, listen. I one shot you.
Hey, chill, boys. Hey, chill.
I think that this guy was scared maybe to engage in a fight without a self-defense argument. That's why he was asking for the camera to go down. Because he seems now to be willing to fight now that he's received the hit.
Oh, boys. Boys, boys.
Zirka overcommits with a jab, and this guy takes his underhook to the belly. Slams Zirka to the ground. Zirka hits the newspaper container.
Chill.
Control of the upper body and the t-shirt by the other guy. Good hook here, dropping Zirka to the ground. Iron fist on the ground, ground and pound.
Oh, chill, chill, boys!
And now...
chill!
He's dominated on the ground for a second, but then Zirka reverted, and now Zirka finds himself in the guard.
Yo, you guys! Stop, boy!
Now he's controlling the head of Zirka, so Zirka doesn't have any opportunity to hit on the ground. But if Zirka gets liberated from this, Zirka would have the range to hit him, probably from the guard. So Zirka didn't get anything other than barking and yelling. He didn't get anything really well placed, and he mostly got hit. Pretty ridiculous, this guy, Zirka. I've been happy of his positions. You know, when he debates the Israel stuff, he's great. But I don't think that his anger issues are under control, and that's not a good position to be for a public person. And yes, the little dude won. It's impressive how much smaller he was, and he totally dominated both on standing, the punches, on the slam, and then you can say he got dominated on the ground, but he totally controlled Zirka, and Zirka was able to do no damage at all. Ladies, you are not intimidating. Never in my life have I been intimidated by a woman. You're 5'5". You're not scary. I think men are intimidated by me because I'm blah, 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 blah. Baby, you're not intimidating. You're just not desirable. It's code for you're masculine. Yes, that is very well said, because I've heard this very often. You have this from two types of women. You have extremely beautiful but unsubmissive women. They're seeking for an explanation why they're 10 out of 10s, and yet no guy wants them at all. And they will take it. They will say, "Oh well, I have too much confidence. I'm too beautiful, and I am intimidating for the average man." That's a way to compliment themselves without having the insight into what would make them more desirable. Because you can be beautiful and rich, but if you are unable to follow the plan of a man in life, then it's like it's beauty that is fictitious. It's beauty on paper. There's another type of woman who say this, that they are intimidating men. And that's the ugly, feminist, overly independent woman. That is another woman from whom you will hear these things. And they are looking for an explanation for their lack of success on the dating scene, while not admitting to themselves that ultimately they have too dark of a character to be desirable for men, and on top of it, they're ugly. So it's like they are on the crazy ugly curve. They are in both the ugly and the crazy category, and that gets them totally out of the market. Millennial Woes calling out the new trend. Autism is the new sexy. I've been saying it. I've been saying it on a Mike Enoch podcast, the Right Stuff podcast back in the days. Autism is the new sexy. Millennial Woes is starting to realize if one in two people now have autism, that basically makes it a fashion statement. Early adopters must receive due props. Absolutely, absolutely. We were autistic before it was fashionable to be as such. And so I think that credit is due here. Iceland has declared a state of emergency as quake swarms signal potential volcanic eruptions. There were apparently 1,400 earthquakes within a small span of time. And so it's indicative that the volcano is getting active. Another earthquake video in Iceland.
Well, it depends. It updates every 10 minutes.
It's fascinating to see these people. I mean, look at them. They are fucking Vikings. I love it. They look like Vikings in a movie. They're totally genetically Vikings. I love it. Look at this. With their tattoos and all and long hair for the men. Wow, that is great. That looks like a great place to live. Iceland.
So I guess it depends on how...
A swarm of killer volcanoes, says new guy. Do they come in swarm? Can there be a swarm of volcanoes? Anyways, so we'll see. People are saying, oh, this could be affecting all of Europe because it will blow smoke into the air. And who knows? Maybe aviation will be affected, but who cares if the normies get to their destination, really? Extremely on-brand San Francisco story. Felon who previously shot a police officer was appointed to a city's public safety commission after being released early. He has been rearrested for felony sexual assault. The progressive experiment continues. Oh, so he was the perfect example of someone who came from the carceral environment. He was a felon who had shot a police officer, but he made it out and he gave his due to society. He wanted to do it again. And now, of course, he's attempting a rape. There are people you can't save. And as long as the leftists don't understand this one, they will keep being re-victimized. Lots of protest against the Israeli action against Gaza. Here you have London, a march in support of Palestine. That is a lot of people. Let me tell to the people who control this world and the military. That is a lot of people that are getting pissed against you and that are living in our nations. You might want to go easy on the whole Gaza genocide because you're not getting much support for it. And look at how deluded they are. I mean, they literally think there is not a single innocent person in Gaza. This is in French, I believe, but the translation is at the bottom. A French Israeli liar. There are no innocent civilians in Gaza.
Alors, excusez-moi, est-ce que pour vous, à Gaza?
She just said, "Excuse me, but there are no innocent civilian population in Gaza. It doesn't exist."
C'est compliqué de dire il y a pas de population civile innocente.
Now the host is like, unbelievable. I can't let you say this.
Vous avez des enfants,
he says there are children. I mean, are you saying all the children are guilty?
Vous avez des femmes, excusez-moi.
They are women? Are you saying that the women are terrorists?
À partir du moment où l'éducation...
Now, she's totally convinced that her statement is true. She says, from the moment of birth, they get educated into anti-Semitism.
À partir de la naissance est anti-juive et qu'on la...
They are raised in anti-Jewish sentiment from birth. They are born anti-Jewish. They are born anti-Semites.
Excusez-moi, quand ils ont deux ans. Je suis désolé, Nili, c'est pas audible. Excusez-moi. Franchement, on peut entendre beaucoup de choses, mais c'est pas audible de dire, c'est justifié. De...
And he says, well, you can say a lot of things on my show, but that makes zero sense. We can't accept your statement here. It's unacceptable to say that it's justified to kill children.
Les enfants qui ont un an, qui ont deux ans.
Alors, excusez-moi.
And she was like denying and saying, I'm not saying that. Well, you just said there are no innocent population in Gaza. So you are saying that there is some form of punishment that is deserved for every single person in Gaza, no matter the circumstances. They may have never, they may be adults, they may be male adults, but they have never participated to any terrorist action, but they are still guilty. They are still guilty and in the need of punishment. That is how insane the Israeli side has been throughout this those events. And we get to discover a face of this kind of self-bias of Jewish society that I knew about. I've been knowing about for more than a decade now. But it's fascinating to see it exposed so clearly that even the normies are like, what the fuck are they doing? Here we have a special sculpture work that is made in a waffle structure, paper honeycomb structure. And so you can unfold this sculpture. It's really bizarre. What the fuck? What the fuck? This is all thin layers of micro paper. Honeycombed together. Like a slinky. They are making sculptures in slinky now. I didn't know about this. And a last news item for tonight. It wasn't a super long show, but I don't have much to share these days. I'm super happy. I'm just looking at the price rise of Bitcoin. It had gone down a little bit, then it just had a wave up during the show. Now it's back down. But it's so exciting. Life is so exciting these days. I'm so happy. But sometimes there are not necessarily news as deep as they once were. The last news item tonight, Christopher Hitchens is dead. Sam Harris turned into a morally evil grifter. Richard Dawkins has turned into a shell, too scared to talk about Islam. And now Ayaan Hirsi Ali converted. So this, the horsewoman of atheism, who had joined really the circle of the Richard Dawkins and all, because she wanted to have the coverage, but I was never super convinced that she was a true atheist by rationality. She was more like an anti-Muslim. And she joined kind of from a pragmatic standpoint. She had interest at receiving the praises of this circle of basically Zionist atheist. But now she's converted to Christianity. She's now part of the Judeo-Christian civilization, she says. Why I am now a Christian. And so I've come to realize that Russell and my atheist friends failed to see the wood for the trees. The wood is the civilization built on the Judeo-Christian tradition. It is the story of the West, warts and all. I welcome your feedback. I'm so happy when I see what has happened to the quest of Richard Dawkins for militant atheism. It's a total failure. A total failure because atheists have ended up with zero moral guide. They ended up not making families, not making babies. They ended up being the clever person in the room who knew they were headed toward extinction better than anyone else because they deeply believed in the theory of evolution. And yet they failed at putting it in practice because of the absence of any form of moral structure to their world. And one of the reasons I'm happy that Richard Dawkins' quest has failed is that Richard Dawkins has been selecting the wrong people constantly. Constantly. He's been siding with, he's been promoting Jacqueline Glenn, who was eventually exposed by other YouTubers and eventually myself as a plagiarist. He's been backing and talking gloriously about the Ayaan Hirsi Ali of this world, who were not true atheists in their heart. And in the meanwhile, he was ignoring people like me. People who have come up with actual advances on the science front and who, you know, when you write the revolutionary phenotype, you demonstrate a deep belief in a mechanistic explanation of the world rather than a theistic one. So instead of engaging with the true people who are advancing science and our understanding of the world from a non-God, non-theistic perspective, Dawkins went for the easy grabs. And every time he was revealed to be a very poor decision maker in his alliances. Sam Harris cannot even stand on the public space without being shamed anymore. Sam Harris left Twitter in shame because he knew that he would lose the coming arguments. He knew that he didn't have what it took to address in a frontal, direct manner the arguments that would come to him as part of this, well, as part of the current world with, among other things, the Israeli behavior and what he supports, but also in my view, because it goes back much further for me and Sam Harris, also in my view, is philosophical errors, is errors in pure abstract philosophy. Big Tech Exodus says, I doubt Christianity even has unambiguous and actionable moral rules. Yeah, and it doesn't even matter. Because the Christians of the world, they build their moral guides according to their own denomination of Christianity and what fits in their world. And I know that if you go in South America, you're going to get a very different Christianity than if you go in the backwoods of the center of the U.S. But that is fine because at least there is a moral guide. And at least it is different interpretation of a single guide, which is the Bible. The problem of atheism is that it left the moral world totally unaddressed, only to be filled by the weakest of all morals, the modern liberalism, and all of the weakness of the leftist liberal mindset. That was the big error of atheism as a political movement and as a militant movement. And I'm happy to see that Richard Dawkins is still alive to see his failure. Because I think that Richard would have an opportunity to revert at least some of it before he dies. I think that he could first show a little understanding about the defeat of his movement, the fact that it was meant to be defeated, the fact that it's not, recognize the fact that it's not desirable to be guiding intelligent people toward non-reproduction, the kind of non-reproduction that you will get statistically from adhering to liberal morals. And the acknowledgement that basically the liberalism that dominates his mind from a moral perspective is not justified by by anything. And so it's really it's kind of a random thing that atheists end up being liberals. It's from the random of self-selection. It's the fact that, oh, well, if you're going to revolt against your parents' religion, you're probably more likely to have those cognitive features that lead you to think like a leftist. And that is the losing hand in the game of life. I think that Richard Dawkins would have a chance to recognize this and hopefully engage with the theory of phenotypic revolution, Richard, because you are the grandfather of this theory, whether you like it or not. I made a baby with your IDs. And the baby, I would like the grandfather to get to know the baby. So, Richard, the invitation is up. You can come on this show if you want. We're headed toward a period of excitation on the internet and a re-rise of free speech. It would be the perfect moment to bury the hatchet of war on the side of political beliefs and religious beliefs and engage on science. Make science this force of unity again that you once thought it could be. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love, and I'll see you all tomorrow.